Today we celebrate the feast of the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to the temple. This event in the life of the Virgin Mary has been commemorated from the early days by the faithful, and so there has been a liturgical commemoration of this event which is passed down to our day. Thus, even though that this event, namely the presentation of Mary as a child at a very young age to the temple to be dedicated to the Lord in his service, is not recorded in sacred scripture, nonetheless the church recognizes this liturgical commemoration and the adherence of the faithful to this event. Thus, there are some realities in the life of our Lord and our Lady, obviously, that are not recorded in sacred scripture. And who is it that would have relayed this event in the life of the Virgin Mary? Well, who is it that revealed, for example, the events occurring in the infancy of our Blessed Lord? Who is it that relayed this to the evangelists Matthew and Luke? Could it have been anyone other than our Blessed Lady? So it would seem that our Blessed Lady relayed certain events of her life to certain individuals who then commemorated these events, and this commemoration has passed into the life of the church. Indeed, it was part of the life of the church from the earliest days. And so our Blessed Lady is presented to the temple, or maybe it would be better to say that she presented herself to the temple. This, we could posit, was a preparation to herself become a temple of the Lord, or the temple of the Lord. For she it was, and no one else, who bore the Lord in her womb. And so we might view the presentation of Our Lady to the temple as a certain preparation to be the temple, she dedicating herself entirely to the Lord, to his service, in a singular way becomes worthy to be the splendid tabernacle of the Lord, the tabernacle of the Son of the Eternal Father, to paraphrase the responsorial psalm. But on second thought, in reality, even before she presented herself to the temple at a young age, she already was the temple of the Lord, was she not? Was she not the perfect temple of the Lord from the first moment of her existence? Isn't this what the truth of the Immaculate Conception tells us? Did the Lord already not prepare this woman to be his worthy tabernacle? Was she not then simply confirming what it is that our Lord had already done? I suppose we should not use the word simply as if we were considering it of some small thing that Our Lady did. No, it was a very great thing she did. It was a great thing our Lord did to her, because he didn't do it to anyone else, and he's not going to. She's the only one whom we call the Immaculate Conception. What do you suppose, then, must have been her response to this singular, unique grace of our Lord? A response, we must imagine and must hold, like no other response that has ever been given to our Lord or ever will be given to our Lord from a creature. And this from the first moment of her existence. At the first moment of her existence, already she turned completely, wholeheartedly to the Lord. We might use the word consecration. the Lord consecrated her, and she, as it were, ratifies his consecration. She consecrates herself. He sets her apart, and she consents to the setting apart. He confirms it, she confirms it, and so on and so forth for the entirety of her life. Now, the thing is that Our Lady is not the only one that's precious in our Lord's sight. We all are. We all are his creation. It may be that we have not received the singular grace that Our Lady has received, namely, we are not the Immaculate Conception. But this does not mean that we are not called to be worthy temples, tabernacles of the Lord. Here we are presenting ourselves to the Lord, you see. We ought to be, and we wish to become, no? Worthy temples of the Lord. How is it that we accomplish this? We aren't quite like Our Lady, are we? Our Lord didn't make us sinless from the first moment of our existence. We did receive the grace of baptism, didn't we not? Did our Lord not clothe us with his grace then? Does our Lord not confirm us, sustain us, make us grow in his grace when we turn to him? Today we have the great joy of clothing for aspirants with the seraphic habit, for aspirants who will become postulants today. They'll be clothed with a habit that covers all their body or nearly their entire body. It's a good thing that habit doesn't cover the entire body, right? It'd be hard for me to speak to you. So the extremities aren't covered, and you can see my head. Nonetheless, the habit, what, represents a reclothing of the whole person, doesn't it? It's an outward sign of what needs to be an inward reality for these young men. The color of the habit with which they will be clothed is blue and gray, a blue-gray. The gray representing penance, the blue representing Our Lady. What does this tell us? We'll reserve the explanation of the gray to another occasion. Here we shall concentrate on the blue. What is happening here? We, by clothing ourselves in this blue, wish to accomplish what? To allow Our Lady to clothe us entirely with those graces that make us worthy temples of the Lord. So that exterior covering, we wish to be a manifestation of the interior reality. This new man that we wish to become. So, they become an example, these young men, for what we all are called to be. How do we become, that is, worthy temples, worthy tabernacles of the Lord? By permitting Our Lady to clothe us with the graces of the Lord, of which she is full of. She is full of those graces. She has the fullness of grace in her. All graces, indeed. If we receive any grace from the Lord, it passes through her. And if it's Our Lady that's arranging the graces, she who has never been displeasing to our Lord in the least way ever, if we permit her, as opposed to someone else, to clothe us in the graces of the Lord, isn't this the most excellent way, the most perfect way, the only way whereby we can become true temples of the Lord? Isn't this the way whereby we can present ourselves worthily to the temple, to the Lord Himself. Now, another question. Having said all this, is this really what the Lord wants? As if these reasons aren't enough. Is this what the Lord really wants? Well, we heard in the gospel today the emphasis of discipleship of the Lord. That's what Jesus was talking about. How wonderful, how excellent, how superior it is to be His disciple. When one becomes a disciple of the Lord, then he becomes His brother, His sister, His mother. This is what he says in the gospel. St. Augustine, speaking of Our Lady, says that she was more blessed to be the Lord's disciple than His mother. Imagine that. Does this mean that St. Augustine perhaps is saying that it's not important to be the mother of the Lord? Right after he says that statement, he says this, "Here, hers," speaking of our Blessed Lady, "hers was the happiness of first bearing in the womb Him whom she would obey as her master." How important is it for Our Lady to be the mother of the Lord? How greatly did the doctors and fathers of the church extol the divine maternity of Our Lady, and how much do we continue to extol? How much must we extol? But if we extol her divine maternity, how much more, St. Augustine asks, should we extol her discipleship? What does it mean to be a disciple of the Lord? How is it that we become true disciples? We just said. And what's the basis? Well, you see, and this is of capital importance, Our Lady saying yes to the angel at the Annunciation was saying yes to becoming the mother of Christ. The mother of whom? The whole Christ. Head and members. We are the members of Christ, the body of Christ, mystical body of Christ. Tell me, St. Augustine says again, how Mary became the mother of Christ if it was not by giving birth to the members. She had to say yes to the whole package, and she did. So she said yes to everything and said yes to us. This is what it meant for her to turn completely to God, you see. As it were, that ultimate ratification of what God had given her. What then is our ultimate ratification? How is it that we become true disciples of our Lord? By confirming our filiation with the Blessed Virgin Mary. By confirming her choice of us. She already has chosen us because the Lord wanted her to, and she did. Now the Lord wants us to confirm our choice of her in response. This is true discipleship. Being true disciples of the Lord means become true sons and daughters of the Virgin Mary. And if it is that Mary becomes the true disciple, the excellence of her discipleship is pointed out by her divine maternity, does it not follow that our true discipleship of the Lord depends upon our acknowledgement of Mary as our spiritual mother? This is what it means to do the will of the Heavenly Father, taking her as our mother. We won't fulfill the will of the Father unless we take her as our mother. But if we do, then our Lord will extend his hand out. These are my brothers, my sisters, my mothers. Praise be Jesus and Mary.